And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, the Vice President of Pennsylvania's free market think tank, the Commonwealth Foundation, my friend, Steve Bloom. Steve, great to see you.
Thanks, same. It's great to see you, David. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, we will rock on even in the absence of our friend Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. She will be back with us in subsequent shows. But for now, let's give the listeners a recap of the goings-on in Sin City, Harrisburg, PA.
Indeed, and some big things are happening in Harrisburg, in the state capital. We've seen just in the last several days a proposal to reduce Pennsylvania taxes by about $3 billion passed in the Senate and now over in the House to be considered by the House if and when they see fit. And hopefully the Senate will be able to use some other leverage in the negotiating the budget process to eventually cause the House, which is controlled by the Democrats, to actually take that bill up. Because it would save consumers, again, $3 billion.
Yeah, this is interesting in a lot of different ways. First of all, it kind of came out of nowhere, but that the Senate vote did bring over eight members of the Democrat caucus, giving the measure a veto-proof margin of passage, which is a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it's interesting because the way this was positioned, if you've been paying attention to the state budget this year, Governor Shapiro has proposed or stated essentially that there's more than enough money sitting in the state treasury. It ought to be spent.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a proposal, of course, to spend it in all sorts of different ways to grow government essentially. The Senate is saying, well, whoa, wait a minute. If this is extra money sitting in state government's coffers, shouldn't it go back to the people who put it there?
Yes.
The taxpayers?
Mm-hmm.
And so this reduction, it would be a reduction in the personal income tax, the PIT, which is what most individuals pay in Pennsylvania and many, many of our small business owners pay.
And the rate change would be from the current 3.07 to 2.8%.
Correct.
And it would eliminate the gross receipts tax on electricity bills.
Which is another onerous energy tax that exists in Pennsylvania. It was supposed to have been done away with years ago. It's still here. Pennsylvanians are still paying that tax on their electric bill, anyone who uses electricity. And so, again, House or Senate leaders have realized there's an opportunity here to do some things that would structurally make our Commonwealth much stronger in terms of the position of ordinary taxpayers who are struggling under the inflation that we've been fighting for these last several years under President Biden. And it would also help anyone who's a ratepayer, pays electricity bills, you know, elderly people on fixed incomes, businesses, individuals, whatever, all that would flow back into the marketplace instead of taken out by government to tax growing government.
Right. And it's also a shrewd defensive measure on the part of the Senate majority to
it makes it not so easy for the governor to say, hey, this is money that's
right.
That's extra money that we found and we're going to spend it.
Right. That it sort of cuts against his spending priorities. So it was a very bold move and we will see where it goes from here.
Absolutely. And from Commonwealth Foundation's perspective, we're pleased about it. We've been advocating for a more modest tax structure in Pennsylvania for decades, really.
Mm-hmm.
And we've fought a lot of battles over the issue of raising taxes, and we've helped to thwart many, many tax increases under the 8 years of Governor Wolf, under the first year of Governor Shapiro, and now again here under the second year of Governor Shapiro. So this is a chance that citizens have to step into the action and let their representatives and senators know, especially those now in the House, they want to see that $3 billion tax cut bill for consumers, for Pennsylvania citizens enacted.
Yeah, and I believe it was under the Rendell administration that the PIT was raised to the current level, and I think the basis was something like the new rate that's being proposed.
Correct. And so this is just taking out a tax that it was imposed at a time when Democrats had control of the governorship and both chambers in the legislature. And now there's an opportunity for the citizens to be protected by their lawmakers and get that money back.
Yeah, it's – I mean – I have kind of mixed feelings about it a little bit in that, you know, Pennsylvania's personal income tax rate is actually pretty competitive with other states, and it would probably be a stronger move for economic growth to address other deficiencies with Pennsylvania's taxes, especially regarding business. But if the choice is between porking up the spending baseline and giving money back to the taxpayers, well, that's right. A pretty easy
call. And that's why this is such a strategic play. It's not just, hey, we came along out of nowhere with this idea to reduce taxes by $3 billion. It's because the governor put it in play.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's extra money. We need to spend
mm-hmm.
it. And so that's where it becomes expedient to do this now, even though there may be some other taxes, corporate net income tax being one of them, that we'd like to see that the phase down of that rate happen more quickly. That may be more important structurally in terms of competing to attract investment here in Pennsylvania. But if you want to do something that actually impacts the average Pennsylvania taxpayer,
right.
cutting PIT is a big deal, and cutting the gross receipts tax is a big deal.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, it's true that our leaders in government need to be more respectful of the condition of the public because of current economic conditions, because of inflation and rising prices and the war on fossil fuels making energy more expensive, that what is proposed here would go directly to that, to help, you know, help the taxpayer, the ratepayer, everyday folks, you know, leave a little more in their paycheck so that when they're sitting there at the kitchen table trying to make it, you know, make ends meet at the end of the month, that they got a better chance of getting there.
And again, this is all in the context of the governor also proposing new energy taxes under his PASS and PACER programs.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
So again, there's good news on the one hand, but the reason that it's happening in large measure is because Governor Shapiro has overreached on the other hand. He's trying to impose more taxes at a time when people just cannot take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is again, it was a surprise move, but it's very bold, it's very shrewd, and it certainly changes the conversation in the state capitol.
And another big thing that's changing the conversation in the capitol, again, in the last several days, the State Senate Education Committee has advanced the Lifeline Scholarship Bill out of committee by an 8-3 vote, a bipartisan
mm-hmm.
vote, all the Republicans on the committee, plus Democratic Senator Anthony Williams. And for those who I happen to be at the vote, at the voting session of that committee, Senator Williams gave a truly brilliant discussion before the vote took place during the debate, and talked about the importance of Lifeline scholarships for kids in failing schools in cities like Philadelphia and the areas he represents, but also for places like Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, and failing schools around the state to get an opportunity by passing Lifeline scholarships to allow each child have access to up to $10,000 for tuition and other costs of attending an alternative, whether private school or whether other sort of school would meet their needs when they're in a failing school district, when they're trapped there.
And this really is unfinished business, because this is something that Governor Shapiro said and continues to say that he's in favor of it. Everyone believed that had been agreed to as part of last year's budget, and then he double-crossed the supporters by using his line item veto to kill the program that he said he was for. So there's a lot of raw feelings around this, but as Senator Williams, you know, said, this is really critical for people whose kids are not getting the quality experience that they need and deserve, and that there's just no more waiting. I mean, our children are living out their lives in real time. You know, there's no going back and replacing a school year once missed, as we've all, you know, learned from the COVID lockdown. And so, yes, it's a positive sign. And we will also see where that goes in the context of Pennsylvania's state budget negotiations. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from PMA. With me, Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation.
And another very frustrating thing about working in the educational choice expansion in the field of advancing that effort in Harrisburg is the fact that so many of the lawmakers so many of the opponents of school choice expansion act like it's no big deal if a student misses a few good years of school.
Mm-hmm.
And as if a person who doesn't learn to read and write in first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade is somehow going to be effective.
When they reach
sixth grade, it'll be okay
because
they'll finally get a good teacher.
Right.
I mean, this lack of awareness, I think it's worse than that. They're not unaware. They know that every year of a damaged education is seriously going to impact the future likelihood of success for that child. And yet they're willing to stand by and see that happen, not just for years, but for decades.
Yeah.
Student after student in these tragically underperforming schools that are persistently found to be in the bottom 15% of educational performance in Pennsylvania. Under Lifeline, those kids finally would have the opportunity to learn like the rest of the kids in Pennsylvania.
To escape the dysfunction and get a new start. I mean, and something else, Steve, that is deeply offensive about this, about the conversation that goes on, is that many of the opponents of scholarships, school choice, charter schools, other education freedom options, they themselves pay to send their kids to private schools. And it's like, well, okay, yeah, you can use your own position and your own wealth to do that. So it's good enough. So like the local public schools are good enough for other people's kids, just not for yours.
And that's an open secret that lawmakers' kids, almost 100% of lawmakers' children of representatives who live in districts with the permanently underperforming schools send their kids to private school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a given. They find a way to make that happen. Now they can do that because they work for the state. They have the lawmakers have a reasonably generous salary here in Pennsylvania, and they can do that for their families. But the rest of the families around the block and down the street, they're stuck with those bottom performing schools, these schools that are just not equipping students for the future.
Yeah. And so it's, again, this is all part of the shakeout that's going on. And we will see these issues, and hopefully people will be forced to take a stand and cast a vote in public, and we'll see where it goes.
Indeed. Another thing that's happened is the advancement of telemedicine, which is the opportunity that the medical profession now has to virtually meet with patients. Doctors and nurses and so forth can do things online that they used to require an actual office visit. But Pennsylvania had no infrastructure in place in terms of the ability to make sure that it's all properly billed and taken care of in a way that's beneficial to the economy and it meets the needs of the patients. So telemedicine has been something that's been pushed for session after session, and it's failed. And now it's just passed the Senate as well, headed over to the House. So there's an opportunity to help improve healthcare across the board in Pennsylvania, especially in rural areas where they really rely on telemedicine, and make sure that's done in a manner that's fair and responds to the marketplace.
Yeah. So it's, the listeners have heard me tell the very bad joke many, many times that our state motto should be Pennsylvania. We've always done it this way. Because this is an innovation that other states adopted many years ago. So it's like a good news, bad news thing. The good news is that Pennsylvania is finally adopting a positive change. Sort of the bad news is that we're one of the last states to do it.
Right. But at least there's an opportunity for us to finally do it. And again, something we've been working on for years and years. Multiple legislative sessions have gone by where the bills are brought up. They'll pass one chamber or the other, but not both, and never reach the governor, all sorts of situations. I think this could be the year that telemedicine finally does get done.
Well, I hope so. And this it goes hand in hand with other things like building out our telecommunications infrastructure and making sure that all of our communities, no matter where you are in the Commonwealth, that you're able to participate in the information economy by having access to connectivity. So that process of deploying a broadband and doing other things to help make Pennsylvania more connected, those things are still ongoing, still before us, so that, again, for example, that our rural communities can have the high and sustained rates of connectivity to be able to have those virtual visits, to have the instantaneous transmission of dense data sets like MRI recordings and that kind of stuff. So it's just it's something that I would hope that our leaders would do more, and maybe this is a good sign that more will be coming to address the actual needs of the people as they are, rather than going on tilting against windmills.
And another item that's coming up, and I think will be sent over probably by the state senate to the House. Some bills already have been sent over during the last year or so of this current legislative session, in the arena of regulatory reform.
Right.
And that's also crucial to the ongoing success of Pennsylvania businesses,
right,
where permitting delays and other regulatory delays have just really thwarted our opportunity to grow businesses here in Pennsylvania.
And it's nothing I can talk about in detail, but yeah, we received news recently at our shop of another major investment that had been planned of the company just pulling the plug because it's too, it's just not worth it in terms of the time delay and regulatory compliance and all those kinds of things. So the opportunity cost of what we could have and could have had but didn't get and might never get because of bad policies, that cost is real. Even when we don't see it, it's still real, which is why, again, we need our leaders to address these things with the appropriate level of urgency so that we can make progress in real time.
And so many people don't realize that in other states, it's normal that a person who applies to have a permit to construct, let's say, a manufacturing facility, It's assumed that in those states that the application is fair and it's responding to the requirements, and that if there's a problem found with it, would construction be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Pennsylvania, it's almost as if the person trying to invest in our state is told from the get-go, we don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be considered wrong and incomplete until we tell you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so Why would you risk the idea that your whole project's going to be delayed by months, if not years, which commonly happens in Pennsylvania, when you could go next door to another state and get it done on a presumed approval basis?
Right. And one of the ways that we could address that and should address that is that the applications that are submitted are done by licensed architects and engineers, and that these people hold licenses from the Commonwealth. Why should the Commonwealth not just look upon those license holders,
correct,
as being officers of the Commonwealth? Because they're risking their credential by submitting bad information, and that also that the client has paid for these credentialed professionals to do the work, so they've also been reviewed by the company that is submitting.
And again, in other
them.
States, that's common.
Yes,
the deemed approval process is, again, you're essentially it's not a criminal situation with innocent until proven guilty, but it's a sense of we're going to just assume you're guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, and that there's it's like that old Saturday Night Live skit from many years ago. It's like, we don't care, we don't have to care, we're the phone company, and it's but really that's what it's like. The state bureaucracies, there's nothing to make them care, but our leaders should ride roughshod on them so that they do the public's business in a timely fashion, so that we don't lose out on the investment and the opportunity and the jobs and the growth that would otherwise come our way. So it's a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way, but that's why we're here. This is what we do. And Steve, as we come down to the last moments here of this particular broadcast, tell folks about your shop and the work that you're doing. Where can they find them?
Well, first of all, we can be found at commonwealthfoundation.org on the internet. And we have a complete layout there of all the different arenas we work in terms of public policy. We've been at this, the organization, since 1987. So been around for a long time. And we've expanded. We've had the opportunity to grow and increase our expertise and our knowledge and our relationships with people who are holding the reins of power. And we continue to push for free market economic reform. So all Pennsylvanians have an opportunity to thrive.
Outstanding. Well, long may you wave. And as ever, find us online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. Well, from Steve and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now a commentary from Loman Henry.